Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners, welcome to City on a Hill. I'm Dawn Wildman, and I am joined today by my partner in all things Tea Party and Common Core education reform, Miss Christina Mikus. So we're so thrilled that you took the opportunity to join us today, and let me shout at Christina, see how she's doing. How are you doing this afternoon, Christina?
I'm doing awesome, girl, as usual.
Good.
On another roll today. What are we going to talk about today?
and yes, just give me a second to get myself pulled together, because we have what we hope is going to be an interesting show for you guys today. Hopefully it shocks you into waking up, taking action, and being as upset about some of the things happening in education reform as we are. But as always, we love to start the show by giving it to God. So would you mind opening us in prayer, Christina?
No, I'd love to. Father God, we just come before you now, Dawn and I, and we just dedicate this show to you, Father God, and we just ask that for an outpouring of your Spirit upon us today, that, Father God, that our words would be what you would have to say to the people, not what we have to say. This isn't about us, Father God. This is all about you. So, Father God, we just ask that right now that you take charge of this show and that our message will reach those that need to hear, Father God. There are so many that are lost right now that need to hear the truth of what's really going on in this country, and there's so little truth being told, as you know. So, Father God, we just thank you now as we begin that these are your words spoken and not ours, and may they reach deep into the spirits of all those that are listening. We thank you and we praise you, and we give you all the honor and the glory, and we pray all of this in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. So, folks, this show has sort of developed over the course of this week, mainly because Christina and I found ourselves talking about kind of incessantly about sort of the same aspect of this whole federal takeover of education. And it's just one of many components that drive us crazy. But this is particularly egregious because of what's happening. So as we were talking about it, literally, I think every day this week, you know, I said, you know, we need to be telling everybody about this. You know, we need to shine a light on this, and we can be really angry and upset and mad and scream and yell, where is everybody? But if we haven't informed people what is happening, of course they're not going to come to it. So so the thing that had us really even riled up this week has been the aspect of Common Core in regards to the books that are, while not quote-unquote required reading, these books sit in your children's school libraries. They sit in public libraries. They are on the reading list from the American Library Association. So I know that I read a lot as a kid, and I still do. I love to read. Both my parents were prolific readers. My father still is. And so I grew up that way. So books to me were just this wonderful way to educate myself about anything I wanted to know about. You know, I loved mystery books. I love biographies. So for me, reading's always been a part of my life, and I think I've always taken for granted that kids in school are still reading the same books that I remember on our reading list, things like you know, Catcher in the Rye and great works of art, you know, Ernest Hemingway and Nabokov and, you know, all these great books that I can remember. So when I heard about some of these books, I was pretty incensed. And the reason I'm incensed, folks, is the books that are on this list now have so much graphic sexuality, quote-unquote alternative lifestyles, meaning the homosexuality agenda, bestiality. And it's not as if it's sort of in a context where some, you know, some people are thinking, well, you know, there are romance novels that are very sort of, you know, sexual or whatever. No. What we are talking about is absolute graphic gnarliness, and we are going to completely assault you today, your ears, your spirit, with what it is we're talking about, because I think it's the only way we're going to get people to wake up. So you and I were talking about a couple of these books, and I'd asked you, you know, well, are there any, these are the books in the library at school, because we work with Debbie, who her mission has been to get these books, to find them in the school, and to read them, because we know parents are not doing this, and it's not to smack a parent. You assume when something is in your kid's school library, don't you, that it's somebody has looked at these books and said, this is appropriate for the school-age kids, right? So can you read just that little bit that you read me yesterday from one of these books that is actually considered appropriate for, what, 15-year-olds or something, 14-year-olds?
Which one, the 2,000 pounds per square inch?
That one.
2,000 pounds per square inch. And listeners, you know, I apologize ahead of time, but if we don't start getting this information out, I don't know how to get it to you. We're going to have to understand what's in the school library. And we just did an exercise before I get into 2,000 pounds per square inch. We just did an exercise with a group of parents in a particular state, and they had no knowledge of what was happening. And they kept saying, well, that's not in our schools. We wouldn't have that in our schools. Well, we took, because there's a way to go into your school library online and find out what books are there. So we did that exercise with the parents, and we went through several books. And they said, oh, surely that can't be in our library. And, of course, it's there. We have to understand that the American Library Association, Planned Parenthood, and this whole thing interrelated with Common Core and the agenda behind all of this is to remove all literature, history books, and everything from the library and replace them with this stuff. Now, this isn't textbook stuff. This is just, as Dawn said, this is just reading for the kids to read, like we would go in and read any book. But they're in the school libraries. And there's also a level that a book is written at. So a book could be written at fourth grade, 8 month level, or something like that, but it's actually designated for teens. But when you think it's written at a fourth grade level, that means that any person at that level can read the book. So this is one of the bad things that we're facing today. This one particular book, 2,000 pounds per square inch, it's a story about safe sex, starring Geography Club's Russell Middlebrook. And it's by Brent Hardinger. If you look him up, you'll find plenty. And there's look up Smashwords, too, because there's plenty there at Smashwords. And this is basically talking about this kid that's going in to be tested for HIV. And he was reflecting on his story about why he's even going. He says, I'm a teenager, and I'd come to a gay health clinic to get an HIV test. HIV is the virus, of course, that causes a disease called AIDS. Anyway, he goes on to say why he's there and so on, and he starts reflecting on what brought him there in the first place. So he says, as I walked down that hallway, I couldn't help but think back on the experience that had led me here in the first place. It was with Webb, this guy I'd met the summer before when I was a counselor at camp. Now, that's scary enough that this is your counselor at camp acting this way, but nonetheless. Okay, Dawn, you sure?
I'm absolutely okay. Sure. You know,
okay.
We have to get parents to understand this isn't just us being prudes. Hear what is written.
This is in your kid's library. Suck me, Webb. Back naked in the water at the very edge of the lake. It was night, and we'd been fooling around in this little far from camp. Huh, I said. I'd always had a way with words. He nodded down to the cock between his legs. It was stiffening again, rising up his stomach in twitches like some kind of snake charmer's cobra. Even though he'd already had his ejaculation about 5 minutes earlier, I'd come too, but the weird thing was I was already horny again. I hadn't expected that. Having sex with a person wasn't like jacking off. When you come after jacking off, you stay satisfied, at least for a few hours. But then where was a hot naked guy in front of you, especially a hot naked guy with a rapidly stiffening you-know-what, it was hard for you not to get hard again.
Okay, I'm gonna actually stop you.
That's
only
enough.
I know how uncomfortable you are. probably should have let parents know, please don't have your kids in while you're listening to this into the room. This is adult context information. And yes, I really want you to be shocked. I want you to be offended. I would love for you to send me nasty emails because then I at least know that you're paying attention. Here's the reality. There are these books now that are sitting in your kids' library in place of, you know, some of the best literature all of us have read, Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, those kinds of things, that are dealing with very graphic, sexual, alternative lifestyles. And we're not even talking just about this this gay agenda that is in books, but there is also things involving girls, where books that involved incest, bestiality, rape. And if that's not bad enough, if your kid's reading these books, there is nothing, I mean, some of these titles are very innocuous. So if your kid is bringing home a book, you're probably as a parent thinking, oh, praise God, they're reading. To hear the title, 2,000 pounds per square inch, my immediate thought was, it's a book about architecture or construction or something, you know. It wasn't obviously what it is. And the worst part of all of this, frankly, in my in my eyes, that the immediate thing I thought of this week was, there's no parental warning on these books, folks. So Tipper Gore, back in the 80s, went on a huge rampage through the music industry and demanded that they put parental labels on certain music, because she felt like, and the organization she worked with, felt like parents felt like the lyrics of some of these songs and the subjects of some of these songs were so horrendous for kids that there really should be a warning label, so parents are aware, you know, listen, you might want to hear this first, or, you know, keep this out of your young child's hands. So that happened. We see that. Pick up a CD, pick up any rap CD, you know, all kinds of stuff. You will see those parental labels. That is not on these books, by the way. If you go to Barnes & Noble and you look in the young adult section, you, first of all, you'd be amazed at how many books there are there. Then look at the titles and think, okay, I don't recognize any of these titles from books I've read. But more importantly, you need to start opening them up and reading these for yourself so that you understand that this is an absolute assault on your children to have this context now, everyday indoctrination, to be that alternative lifestyles or an anti-Christian point of view, or, you know, all this very open, promiscuous sexuality is totally normal. And if that's the way you feel as a parent, because I got to believe, I even said this to Christina yesterday, I got to believe even gay parents really believe that the place their child should learn about sexuality and their bodies and love and all those things are from them.
Mm-hmm.
Not some crass book they've picked up in the school library. This is the most offensive part of this. This isn't like your kid got schlepped to the public library. And by the way, I know I am not talking censorship, so before you start, you know, sending me emails about banning books, that's not even what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is parental guidance. I would love to see the warning labels, parental guidance labels on these books, because there are a lot of kids, you know, like Christina said, if they say, listen, this book is written and it actually can be read by, you know, fourth graders. Well, I still remember fourth grade, and I would not have known what any of what she just read, what any of that meant. And it certainly wouldn't have been something my parents would have given me permission to read. So that's
Don. We wouldn't have had these books when we were. That's the point. This is something that's relatively new to remove again the moral fabric of our society, to break down the moral fabric of our society. And if you constantly barrage the kids with sex and bestiality and homosexuality, because that's basically what they're putting into the books. You know, you can say that some of these books are just bad language. But, you know, there's a limit to bad language in a book as well. And how much bad language do you want your kids? Let's just pick one book. You know, they look, well, today, children's books look so different than the books that we've read, as we just said. And the area of bad language is a big one. Okay, so if you're listening to television, you hear a lot of bleep outs for bad language, right? Newspapers have policies in place, etc. But parents are often surprised to find out there are no restrictions placed on children's books. Now think about that. No restrictions on children's books. There's one book, it's called Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist by Rachel Cohen and David Levithan. It has, just to give you an idea, 275 F words. 26 of them are on one page alone. So that's just to give you an example. 26 F words on one page. That's what your child is reading. Now, that's mild. We can also get into a milder book that's called It's Perfectly Normal.
Well,
It's Perfectly Normal was written by Robie Harris. That book is endorsed by Planned Parenthood, and also the American Library Association. She's lauded as one of the top authors for children's sex books.
Well, and that's the thing here, too, is that the argument that is being made, by the way, for the reasoning for having these books available to your children is that the authors and the publishers and the American Library Association and Planned Parenthood and every person who makes the decision to write off that, yes, this is appropriate, says that your children are not strangers to the public world of sex, that most kids are having their own sexual experiences between the ages of 16 to 18, and that not giving them the ability to read these books is actually harmful to them because it makes them feel bad about themselves. Well, seriously? That's your reasoning? We know for the longest time in our nation, we kept hearing, I know I did coming up in my 20s, first times I was voting, was that, and we used to hear this, everybody will know this, you can't legislate morality. Anything would come up. Well, you know, you just can't legislate morality. Actually, every law we have is legislating morality. We don't allow people to kill each other, you know, without having to face a court and go to jail for that. We don't allow people to steal from each other. There are everything that basically our law is set upon is legislating morality. And this has been the way the progressives have managed to get around this whole legislating morality, is if they change the conversation about what morality is and what is deemed as healthy for your child to know. And we all know that even physiologically, boys who mature much slower than girls are in their early 20s before their frontal lobe has completely formed together. And that's why you have, frankly, that's why you have such a huge success on YouTube, is all these young men who are going out and doing stupid stunts and posting them on YouTube, because there are aspects, parts of their brain physiologically that haven't matured yet, and those are the parts of the brain that actually control impulses. And so we think that, you know, the fact that we already know these things are going on, we have heard from teenagers themselves. I hope everybody that's listening to this will listen every month to Christina's show with Heather and Tiffany, Voices of the Voiceless, where teenage girls are actually running their radio show and talking about the issues that face them every single day as high school students, young girls growing up. And they will tell you they have enough stress already in their lives. School is stressful. Teachers not helping is stressful. Parents who feel incapable of helping is stressful. But you add this aspect to it, because to me this is a complete assault on a child. The idea that things that would have been considered well, just in poor taste when I was growing up, let alone very much adult matter, are now being, you know, given to kids and saying, oh, yeah, it's completely appropriate that you guys get a chance to read this because it's good for you.
Don, this pornography. It was pornography in my – and actually, the book I just shared with him, It's Perfectly Normal – mm-hmm. That is considered, it was not allowed to be in the prison library because it was considered pornographic. Yet it is in our school libraries for the kids 10 years old with graphic sexual pictures in there of masturbation, of two people having sex. I mean, graphic pictures for 10-year-olds. So it's banned in the prison because it's considered pornographic, but it's okay for our 10-year-olds?
Well, and
there's
a
disconnect here.
Make no mistake, parents, also, that you are sitting there right now saying, Not in my kid's school. I know everything. I know the teachers. I love the teachers. I know the other parents. I know the school board members. Here's the sad part, folks. They don't know. They don't know. I mean, the reality
is... It's in your schools. We just proved this point the other night when we did this with this group of parents. That wouldn't be in our school. That's not in my school, is it? Is that in my school library? And we sat and went through every single book and pulled it up and said, oh, yes, that's in there. Oh, yeah, they have the whole series. They were shell-shocked by the time we finished.
Too, on some of these books, Christina, they also have on the jackets of these books. So say your
that's
kid is...
That's where they send the kids. It may not be directly in the book, there are references that they send to. One of them is... This is a Nicole Hasler book, and these are all very graphic and, you know, bondage, this and that and so on. But these books are children's fiction books, but they're nonfiction kids books that parents are unaware of. And one such book is Sex, a Book for Teens, An Uncensored Guide to Your Body, Sex, and Safety by Nicole Hasler. This book carries an endorsement by Jocelyn Elders, M.D., who is a former Surgeon General of the United States and Professor Emeritus at the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences. This is what Jocelyn Elders says about Nicole Hasler's An Uncensored Guide to Your Body and Sex, and we'll get into a little bit more on that in a minute. This book should be on all school library shelves and makes an excellent birthday present from parents to adolescents. Both the content and form are superb. This book is for kids 15 and up. This book explains the difference between a dildo and a vibrator, how to obtain one, how to have lesbian vaginal sex, how to fist and use your imagination on that one, and how to sodomize somebody. This former Surgeon General of the United States said this book should be on all school shelves. Now, parents, is this what you want your kid to learn? What's the difference between a dildo and a vibrator? How to obtain one? How to have a lesbian vaginal sex? And how to fist and how to sodomize somebody? Now, understand, this particular author, Nicole Hasler, has a site up, and it's called Midwest Teen Sex Show, going to what Dawn was just saying. The link is on, look at the references and look at the links to the authors in these books. It may not be directly in the book, but when they're leading the kids. Now, your kid's sitting there on the computer. And, you know, let's face it, the kids are married to these things. So they're sitting there and they're going, oh, here, I'll just click on that, Midwest Teen Sex Show. Go ahead, parents, Google that.
Well,
and then see what your child is going to learn.
And
this,
in fact,
is
we
what's going into your child's brain while they're sitting in front of a computer. And with Common Core, everything being on technology, you're not going to know what your kids are getting because a lot of them aren't going to be books. They're going to be e-books.
Well,
so understand.
Fact, we discussed yesterday, if your child is trying to create a Facebook page, you know, and there are all kinds of sites that do this. They ask you for your birth date, and the reason is that, you know, a lot of these sites, they say, you know, 14 and up. They don't want young children having access, you know, being responsible for what may or may not happen out in the, you know, internet. And this is why they ask you your birth date. And so I went to this Midwest Teen Sex Show, and there is nothing that crops up. You have to really dig for sort of their little privacy statement that says, oh, this is not to condone or, you know, be a manual or, you know, be used for, you know.
It's a video. It's video after video after video.
For young kids and all this stuff. But there is nobody that is keeping your child. There is no age requirement. There is no putting in a name or anything to keep your kid from accessing this website. And this is just one of a myriad. But
mm-hmm.
This is that this is actually geared for your kid because it's being done by teens. And so, you know, if you're not paying attention, I know you guys, we tell parents this, they hear this enough. You really need to pay attention to what your kids are accessing. And there are a big number of parents now that feel like, well, I don't want to spy on my kid. Since when? You are the parent. Since when? I mean, we didn't have these things that our parents had to worry about when we were coming up, but my parents knew where I was going, who I was going with, who their parents were, the phone number, what time I was supposed to be home, what adults would be present at whatever, and what my parents were no different than anybody else. I didn't grow up, you know, in the Middle Ages. And the shocking part of this is I don't hear any kickback yet. And I so remember so clearly Tipper Gore and the music issue, because I was in my 20s thinking, you know, really, come on. And trust me, people, if you're not aware, the music she was complaining about then is not even close to being as much of an assault on your kids' ears as you hear today in music. Now we have books that, frankly, I wouldn't read because this is done for no other reason to indoctrinate your kids into a particular mindset. And this incursion into, it's perfectly normal. It's totally okay. All the anti-bullying stuff that goes on, it's all the same stuff. You know, the thing that is so aggravating to me about all of this is, you know, there is no parental outcry thus far. That's why we're doing this show today, by the way. This is why we want to shock you, is we want to know, really, if this is how you want your kids finding out. Because I have no problem if you think, hey, my kids should know this, but do you really think it's the responsibility of the school, unattended your children are, that are reading this? We really wanted to bring this to your attention. Also, we were discussing this week, all in the same line, it's not just the books. You know, I don't know if you guys pay attention to what's on TV. I think most of us, you turn it on and, you know, you turn on a show for your kids or whatever, you leave, you go do your laundry. People will watch mindless stuff. But this is also why I am totally offended when I hear people refer to the term low-information voter. There's no such thing as a low-information voter. People are getting information every single day, through their smartphones, through their computer, through the TV shows and the radio that they listen to. You are getting information. You are getting your comedy show that is dealing with whether it's a gay issue or it's a pregnancy, unwanted pregnancy issue. You are having agenda thrown at you every single day. You are having somebody's political agenda thrown at you. And now we have this complete assault on Christianity. And it's all built so that this idea of no real to show the hypocrisy in Christians' lives, and to show that these different alternative lifestyles are perfectly normal. So now you have shows on polygamous Mormons, at least two of them now, Sister Wives and My Five Wives. So we're all supposed to think, well, see, these are perfectly normal people. This is perfectly legitimate. This is also to keep you from having that thought that marriage, defense of marriage, which is between a man and a woman, that most Christians believe, isn't always felt that way. They do not show you the opposite show where most Mormons do not believe in this polygamous lifestyle, and in fact it is illegal. You have a show called Preacher's Daughters now, which are to show you the teenage daughters of pastors from around the country who really are about 5 minutes away from girls gone wild. You know, they are pretty average teenagers, but it is to show you that, listen, even pastors' daughters are not listening to their parents when it comes to Christianity or morality or anything like that. You have another show that shows the wives of pastors, who some of them are actually pastors themselves, who have all this conflict, all this drama, all this sinning. Amish Mafia. We want to make sure we show even the most intense religious group that it isn't even being polluted by modern society in this country is filled with sin and hate and greed and lust and da-da-da-da-da. So you wonder why there was such an uproar about Phil Robertson, somebody finding a clip of him where he was preaching somewhere. And there was a big uproar. They wanted Duck Dynasty taken off the air because Phil Robertson happens to be a very strong, devout Christian. He didn't say he was a perfect man. He didn't say he was not hadn't sinned in his life. He was trying to get the message out about God, the Word, Jesus. So big outcrying happens. And frankly, I never saw the show until that happened. Then I got curious. Why are they trying to take it off the air? And I realized, well, it shows a family that's very devoted to each other, caring, loving, and that show ends every show with the family sitting around at the table praying, saying grace, and there is a big thread of their faith and belief throughout the show. Oh, okay, now I get why they want to get rid of it. So if you don't realize that your kids are being assaulted every single day, if you're not paying attention, if it's okay to you that they listen to music that calls women bitches and hoes and talks about beating them and degrading them, and that's okay, that they listen to music that talks freely about sex before marriage and doing illegal crimes, and that's okay.
Yeah, how about killing your parents? And drinking their blood.
Right.
That's one
killing
of those
police officers. So it's not even just the books. This is part and parcel of a whole train of stuff that is coming into your kids' lives every single day. And do you have to be a cop to your kids? Yes. You are a responsible parent. You love your child. One has to assume that you have children. You are raising them to be capable, loving, caring, spiritual members of society, good members of society. I mean, if that's all you manage to do as a parent, I got to tell you, God bless, you've done your job. This is great. But if you think that these subjects are things that you should be telling your children about, not finding out in a book, not telling them that the way that you think as a Christian, your belief, your faith is completely dismissed as some antiquated idea that morality only exists by majority, which, by the way, I might agree with them on that one, but the majority of Americans think the morality that we had established in this country based on Judeo-Christian faith was actually pretty good. And it's based on that mutual respect of each other. None of this is respectful. I can't even believe. I can't imagine. I feel pained for a teenager, Christina, that is reading this book by themselves.
I know.
To me, that there's no difference. That is a molestation on that child.
Well, it absolutely is, Dawn. And, you know, we talk about the filth in the books, you know, the pornography, what we call pornography. Today it's accepted. But we talked about that. But if you think that the Christian books aren't being affected as well, you're in for a giant shock. And it's not that there's the filth and the sex in the Christian books, but what it is a perversion of Christianity. So if they can subliminally feed your child something other than what the scripture says, but frame it in a way that they start questioning, really, who is God? And are my parents telling me the truth? You know, there's so many Christian books. I'll just give you one thing God forgot to give me breath. Is it any wonder I'm an atheist? That's in a Christian book. And again, fourth grade, 0 month reading level. If God wanted us to masturbate, then God wouldn't have given us thumbs.
Wow.
I thank God for my thumbs. This is a Christian book. I want you to understand, these are Christian books.
And by the way, Christina and I are not prudes. We are not.
This is appalling to us. I mean,
well,
I don't understand how this can't be offensive to the parents. I realize parents don't even know what's going on. They're so unaware today. But my gosh, we have a responsibility to these children. And no, we're not prudes. But this is disgusting.
Well, my point was, we are two women who've had life experiences. You know, we're not 15-year-olds, and for us who have,
imagine,
we're both stunned. And as Christina said, your parents are unaware, and we're not blaming the parent. That's part of all of this, is to keep you unaware, is to keep you out of this, because they know, just like we do, which is why we're telling you about this today, that once you hear this is happening, you will be outraged.
Yeah.
And for every conservative parent that's out there that I've had an argument with in the last 3 years about stuff like this, who has said to me time and time again, not in my kid's school, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but it's already in schools across the country. And if it's not in your child's school, you go to the school library, you look up these books, and they're not there, God bless you. That's fantastic. That will hopefully keep your eye on the ball. You will look every year when new books come out. We've had parents do this, by the way, over the course of the last 5 years, that would go every single year to the school library to see what the books were that they were putting in their child's school library. And they fought for the ones that they thought were so inappropriate. When I was growing up, when you had sex education, I remember in the sixth grade and then again in the eighth grade. First of all, the sixth grade, I mean, still at the eighth grade, I think we were too immature to even, and they separated the boys from the girls, and which was an appropriate way, I think, to handle it. And your parent had to sign off on that. You had to get permission to attend it. Not the other way around like they try to do now, where you have to, quote-unquote, opt out, and most parents aren't aware it's even happening. They separated the boys and the girls, and, you know, I think there were maybe a couple of questions. You know, you all sort of giggle, whatever, but they're nothing compared to the sex ed that kids are getting today and the graphic videos that they're showing them, the reading material that's out there. You know, you brought up the prison. What is so interesting is that if you were a convicted child molester and you were on, you know, got out of prison, you're on parole, you can't be in the state of California within X amount of feet of children, whether it's a park, a school, whatever, guess what you also can't have? This. This reading material would violate your parole.
Mm-hmm.
Bad this stuff is. And we know that you parents don't know it. We know that this is largely the first time you're hearing it. But you know what? Don't trust just us. Just please go to your kid's school library, ask your children, what's on your recommended reading list? Ask to see the accelerated reader list. Because as Christina said, now that they're introducing iPads to every child, oh, the technology isn't fabulous because Bill Gates doesn't have nearly enough money. Your kid can download this. Almost every parent has some form of reader, whether it's a Kindle or you have it on your iPad or tablet. You have access to download books, pay for them. Well, imagine with your kid being able to do the same thing at school for free, never needing your permission. And that's what we're talking about today. Now, all this, by the way, is being done without your permission. So whether or not you even think this is a good idea, you don't even know about it. Nobody's giving you the option to say, not appropriate for my child. You wouldn't think in a million years to allow your child to go to a movie that said these things, that portrayed these scenes, that probably get a very hard R rating. You would never let your child under 17 go by themselves. And yet that's what they're reading.
Mm-hmm.
So when you guys had done this this exercise with the parents about, go check this out in your own school, what happened?
They were basically speechless, Dawn, and they just kept saying, oh, my God, I'm disgusted. Oh, my God, I'm shocked. Oh, my God, I'm going to go to the library. And then one person said, well, we need to get all the technology out of schools. Well, no, that's not the answer, is to get the technology out of schools. Because, number one, you're not going to be able to do that. If it's a public school funded by the government, you're subject to the government mandate of Common Core, which requires technology. So you're not going to get the technology out of your school. But I heard not one parent say, my God, I've got to get my kid out of that. And that was the shocker to both Debbie and myself. It was a shock because my first reaction, my kid's coming out of that school, and he's coming out in 5 minutes. But that's not the reaction. The reaction was they want to go fight at the legislature level, which is fine if that's what they want to do. But unfortunately, that's another whole show in and of itself, is what's happening with our legislatures and why we can't get heard. But
well,
they want
why I wanted
to go and preserve the school. They want to fight to, you know, to stop this, but you're not going to be able to stop it if it's a public school. So you have to realize, parents, that you have to accept certain realities of where we are today. The government has nationalized education. They are mandating and dictating, not that it's legal and not that it's constitutional, because it's not, but our current government doesn't seem to care about legalities or constitutionality. So they have nationalized education. They are mandating Common Core. They are mandating, they are funding Planned Parenthood, which in turn will be the ones administering all this sex ed in your schools. It's not going away. It's only going to get worse. So the first thing that your thought should go to is, my kid is not going to be in that indoctrination system. My kid is going to come out and get a true foundation in history, in God, in Christianity, in this country. We're a Judeo-Christian country. I heard yesterday, Dawn, I don't know if you heard this, the atheists are, you know, doing their lawsuit against the cross that came out of the 9/11.
Well, sure.
And they put that cross. Remember that steel crossbar that turned out to look like a cross? Now they want that pulled out of the 9/11 memorial because it's offensive to the atheists. We are a Judeo-Christian country, and because they have a Star of David and a cross in this 9/11 Memorial Museum, the atheists want us now to manufacture something so they're represented. Excuse me, we are a Judeo-Christian country, and we need to start realizing we are and get back to those roots. And if we don't teach those roots to our children, this nation will fall into communism. And I know people say, oh, that's not going to happen here. Yes, it is. That's what Common Core is. It's communist core. And if you'd really do your homework and research, you'd find that out. And if you listen to the girls, as Dawn suggested, that I do with my radio show, The Voice of the Voiceless, listen to them talk about what's going on in the schools and how offensive it is to them, especially children of faith.
Well, and what's you need astonishing, Christina, is, you know, the light bulb went on for me listening to the girls. They're both juniors in high school. And we've been trying for years now to sort of wake up the parents. We've done the whole legislative thing. We've done the, hey, all the organizations that you think should be fighting with you are actually part and parcel of the privatization of education. So guess what? They got their toe in the water. They're okay with how things are going. You know, I don't even have a problem if people want to do something legislatively. Just be smart, though. You're not going to get this to stop. But what about us getting parental warning labels put on books? Because if nothing else, what Tipper Gore managed to do was wake up parents to the music their kids were listening to. And she didn't say pull it. You know, they didn't say let's censor everything, let's burn it in the streets, let's do all that. What they said was let a parent be aware that some of the lyrics might be, you know, offensive to myself, my kids. I may not think it's appropriate for my kids of a certain age. And that's all we're saying here in trying to get parents to understand that, and by the way, we don't have kids in school. So while you're going and saying that to yourselves or your girlfriend over coffee, well, sure, they can say that. They don't have kids in school. No, thank God. Ours are grown and gone away. Thank God. But the thing is, we fight for your kid. And the reason we fight for your kid is the future. Your kid is the next president. Your kid is the next representative, the next doctor. Your kid is, for all we know, the person that finds the cure for cancer. We fight because your kid is important. Every life is important, not just in getting it born and in the world afterwards. We understand that even what we're saying may not be easy for your family, but nobody ever said it was. And to go from a nation that printed Bibles to teach children to read so they could read the Bible in school to a nation that is having its First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment to our Constitution. You want to know why it was so important? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That was so that we don't get ourselves into a theocracy like we see that happens in the Middle East. Or England, which is where they got it from. They didn't like being told, guess what, you're going to be, you know, part of the Church of England. Yeah, maybe I don't want to be. Maybe I'm a Quaker. Maybe I'm a Puritan. Maybe I don't want to be part of that.
Right, and they came here and did what? Established freedom of religion. And now look at what we have done. We've taken it. We have two areas in our country right now, and there's plenty more, that have been radically assaulted at their schools by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And one school had a prayer, just a prayer, a scripture hanging on a poster in the classroom, the teacher did. One child in an entire classroom went home and told his mommy, and his mom called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. For one child, every child had to suffer, and that poster came down, the teacher was reprimanded. Another thing happened in another state, and the same thing. They were asked to, they did a 9/11 commemorative event, and because they mentioned God, and this was not a mandatory show up for kids from school, it was just done on the school campus. They showed up. Just because God was mentioned, not only the Freedom From Religion Foundation came after them, but the ACLU too, said you can't have this in school. There is separation of church and state. People study your constitution. No such thing. Jefferson never said it. They keep using it. It's not true. There is no separation of church and state. But we have done this to ourselves. And look at what's happened to our country since we've taken God out of everything. A child can't even wear a cross to school anymore. But they can wear everything else that pertains to something else, a different religion. Again, I refer you back to the girls' radio show, Voice of the Voiceless. They discuss this at a 15- and 16-year-old level, how it's making them feel as Christians. Because only Christianity is being persecuted. Everything else can be talked about. No problem. What does that tell you, parents?
Well, and I heard this interesting, speaking of TV, I will go look at shows because I think part of my job also is to keep up what's happening in the culture. And so much of the information people glean is from television, and not just news. I mean, you know, it shows if you think your innocuous show, that's your comedy show, is, you know, completely harmless, just take a little time one day to really pay attention to what's being said, and you will understand mm-hmm. there is generally usually this agenda. But I watched this rerun of Everybody Loves Raymond, and I always liked that show. It was very pro-family, pro-faith, and there was one instant where the mom said something that struck me like a chord last night. So the episode is where, you know, the husband's complained about the curriculum his daughter has in school and how much homework she has, and, you know, oh, this is just really awful. So the teacher says, well, great, you want to help out. She gives him all these books to read, you know, piles him, you know, high with all this material and says, let us know, you know, we would love to have more help. Let us know what's redundant, what you think we should get rid of, blah, blah, blah. And so he, of course, you know, being the dad in this show, doesn't really want to do it because it's a lot of homework. But his wife comes in and finds his mom doing his homework. And she says, so what will it actually take? You know, when they had a bake sale, you wanted to play golf instead of that at the school. When the school did a fundraiser and there was a dunking booth, you didn't think that, you know, you needed to be part of that. Now when it comes to your kids' education, when will you think something's important enough to take a stand? And I thought, that is what this show is about today. When will something be important enough for a parent to take a stand? And that's all we're asking. Educate yourself. We're not even saying take our word for it. You can go to the Department of Education's website and see so much of this information. It's very transparent. We ask that you do that. We ask that you talk to your kids. What are they reading? Find out, because their lives are being shaped with or without you, and we think that's probably not what you had in mind when you had those beautiful children. So now we're reaching the end of our show today, Christina, and
we can only pray that this message doesn't fall on deaf ears.
Absolutely, and I hope people share it with your friends. You can look up all the information. We'll put stuff out there for you to look at. You can go to www.natcure.org, our website, find all kinds of information about Common Core, what is being done, and please just educate yourselves. I mean, your kids are being assaulted every single day, and it's actually being done under the guise of education. So
please look at the Operation Jericho tab on that site to find out what the solutions are and what your alternatives and options are.
Absolutely. We went through a lot of time and energy, and still do, in finding alternatives for you as parents. We know those that have homeschooled have largely had to do it on their own, and we're hoping to change that. We're looking to be a hand in helping the education co-ops get going and have support for those parents. And so please go to Operation Jericho. It's a huge undertaking, but one that is completely spiritually led. So we hope that you guys find anything that we've said today or you find on the website helpful. And with that, Christina, is there anything else you want to let the folks know before I close this in prayer?
No, I think we've given them enough today, but just praying that, again, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. Parents, we have to wake up to the reality, not what we wish it would be or what it used to be, but what it is. And that's my prayer for you, that you will wake up and see what stress is being put on your child in these government indoctrination systems we call public education.
That was very eloquently said, my dear.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
We hope that you share the podcast and you come back to listen to City on a Hill. And I want to thank Diana for giving us the opportunity to give me the opportunity on Fridays and Christina as my wing girl over here to bring some information to you that you might not get otherwise. And we just hope this helps you. That's our complete intent, is to help you so that you can help your kids. Dear Heavenly
Amen.
Father, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we just ask that you keep shining your light upon us. You shine your light upon parents everywhere. We know that if they hear this and they get this message, they will find that what we're saying is not just true, but they will be alarmed and shocked. And we hope that with that, they can come back and find solutions that better suits their children and their families. We know there is nothing more precious than the life of a child. And so we ask you to protect our kids, everybody else's kids, those kids that are being assaulted every single day in classrooms across this country. We ask that you give parents the wisdom and the strength and the opportunity to see what's going on, and that you give them the fortitude to stand up against this. And we ask you so much, Heavenly Father, to keep allowing the light that's being shined on all of this to keep being shown so that we can keep telling people what's going on for those that cannot see, for those that refuse to see. Please open their hearts and their minds that this is actually happening. And please continue to look upon this nation with great favor. We know that there are Christians across this nation that feel completely assaulted by everything that is happening. The government has come against us, and we know we're being persecuted, but we still stand tall. We stand tall in our faith. We stand with a very, very steady spine with each other, and we will continue to do your work, your will, your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, goodbye, listeners, and please share this podcast with your family and friends. And I hope you join us on Monday. And continue to join us. City on the Hills has so much to offer, and there are so many wonderful people that work on the shows. And I hope you give us the opportunity to come into your home a little bit every week to educate you. Everybody have a wonderful, safe, blessed weekend.
God bless.